This is an ABC podcast.
It's time for Kickoff. Welcome to NRL Monday with Andrew Moore. Insights, analysis, and all you need to know in the NRL on ABC Radio and ABC Sport Digital.
Yes, welcome back to Stadium Australia, but welcome to NRL Monday. I'm Andrew Moore, not only with one co-host for the entire show, but two. We are with you until 7.30. Penrith Centre, Paul Alamotti will join us as well later this half hour. Also later, who's hot and who's under the pump. And we'll also find out who Ruan Sims and Michael Carayannis are buying and selling. The New South Wales team for State of Origin 2 will be officially announced at 7 o'clock, or apparently the New South Wales squad in alphabetical order will be named at 7 o'clock. Michael Carayannis will have all that news for us. Who's going to be 5'8"? Who does Payne Haas replace? Who replaces Blake Brayley on the Blues bench? Reports that Reece Walsh, despite being only average in the at the moment, he was named in the Queensland squad today, named on the bench, replacing Ezra Mam in total. Billy Slater made three changes. If you are a Maroon, you may want to tell us what you think about the State of Origin changes for Queensland. Your text messages are certainly welcome on 0467 920222 on this public holiday Monday. What did you make of today's game? Canterbury Bankstown 14, Parramatta 12. I guess if you're a Bulldogs fan, you're relieved that they got the victory because it looked like they're going to chuck it away as they did so many scoring opportunities. Parramatta down and out, down 12-0 after the Bulldogs scored two tries in, what, 3 minutes after a scoreless first half. And then they found a way to score two tries in 2.5 minutes. It was quite extraordinary before Talon De Silva gave away a penalty for a high shot and Stephen Crichton landed the game-winning penalty goal from 42 metres out to give the Bulldogs a 14-12 lead. And the crowd pretty good at Stadium Australia as well, 37,638. But it was the first scoreless first half since round 19, 2021. The table after 14 rounds of the NRL season, the Panthers on top on 26 points, second the Warriors on 22, Sydney Roosters third on 20, Manly Warringah fourth on 18, Dolphins have 18, Cronulla Sutherland has 18, and Newcastle on 18. In eighth spot, South Sydney on 16 points, and then outside the eight, the Cowboys and West Tigers both on 16, and then Melbourne, Brisbane, Canterbury Bankstown on 12, with the Canberra Raiders, Gold Coast on 10 with Parramatta and St George Illawarra last of all on 4. So we'll go through the games next week as well. But, gee, major stories to come out of the weekend. Amoli Olakau'atu's performance in Manly's win over South. Melbourne winning again. Mark Nwanganita-Wase's three-try performance as the Roosters shut down Canberra. The Dolphins may have the most potent attack in the NRL. And surely the best centre combination this year, don't they? Herbie Farnworth and Jack Bostock. Did Keanu Kenny score the best try in Gold Coast Titans history? Nah, Payne, probably just behind David Mead a few years ago. But an incredible effort by Kenny, both with that try and his defensive effort to get Gold Coast home over Brisbane. Our colleague John Gibbs yesterday declared the Broncos are done. Their season's over. They can't make the finals. Do you agree or not? They're 4 points out of the top eight. Well, yesterday, Penrith ran amok, didn't they? The top-of-the-table club embarrassing the West Tigers 68-0, scoring six tries in each half on top of the table by 4 points. Is the Tigers' season of great hope destined for another really wasted year? And St George Illawarra fans were teased at Shark Park yesterday, leading Cronulla Sutherland 12-6 at half-time before the Sharks ran away with it. And they won 34-12. 0467 920222 is the number to send us a text. Ruan Sims won a World Cup as Jillaroo's captain, and she's right here with us in the broadcast box. Welcome back to NRL Monday, Ru. How are you going?
Good, thank you. I'd be better if you weren't making fun of me because of the New South Wales announcement that I like that it's coming in alphabetical order. I'm assuming that you were making fun of me.
I'd never make fun of you, Ru. Michael Carayannis saying it's a 20-man, one-man squad, MC. The announcement is not far away and you're getting more and more whispers.
Yeah, so the big omission, I guess, is, well, the only omission really is Jacob Safidi from the Game 1 squad. Blake Brayley ruled out through injury.
Yep.
So we'll see Api Koroisau as part of that 21-man squad. Dylan Lucas retains his place in that squad. Ethan Strange, Mitch Moses, likely in that squad as well. So not a huge amount of change. And Payne Haas, obviously the other player caught into the team.
Four cup start.
Oh, yeah. And look, in two losing efforts against Dragons and Titans, he's been outstanding. The Queensland team was named today, and game two is Wednesday week at the MCG. Kalyn Ponga, fullback, Selwyn Cobbo and Jojo Fifita on the wings, and Rob Toyer and Hamiso Tabuai-Fadoa in the centres. No changes there. Cam Munster, 5'8" and captain, with Sam Walker, halfback. No changes there. Tom Flegler and Tino Fasua Mala'awi in the front row with Harry Grant, hooker. No changes there. Britton Nicara comes into the starting lineup in the second row with Kurt Capewell, and Ruben Cotter, who started in the second row in game one, shifts back to the lock forward position. And the bench is now Max Plath, Lindsay Collins, Kulikefu Finifuiaki, who's been great for the Dolphins. He was 20th man in game one. He's now on the bench with Trent Liero from the Melbourne Storm. Reece Walsh comes in for Ezra Mam, who's been dropped. And Murray Tuolungi comes in for the injured Gimat Shibasaki. Pat Carrigan was the lock in game one. He is out injured as well. The 20th man, the reserve for the Queensland side, Helam Lukey. Anyone, Ruan, in that side named today by Billy Slater that surprises you in or outs?
No, I think Finifuiaki and Lukey both deserve their positions in that 20. I did have some interest that he hadn't selected an extra half on the bench, but again, he has that ability where Reece Walsh can go into fullback and Kalyn Ponga can move into that halves position. So I think, again, he's selected a side where he has a lot of coverage and without having to move too many chess pieces. But yeah, a very, very strong looking squad there. And I do prefer Ruben Cotter in at lock as opposed to edge back row. And Britton Nicara, he'll be better for that first run. And I think he is definitely a starter in my mind.
What do you reckon, MC?
Yeah, I agree with everything that Roo said. I do like the inclusion of Reece Walsh. I think he should have been there for game one on the bench. I know it throws their balance out a little bit because if there is a half go down, then they'll have to inject Kalyn Ponga into that position. I know Reece hasn't been great, but there was a period in game one, well before Kalyn Ponga got sent off, that I'm sitting there saying he should have been on the field. Reece Walsh should have been on the field because the game was in a flat period after that halftime break, and I just felt like it just needed an injection of something to turn it back into Queensland's favour. And you can't predict what was going to happen to Kalyn Ponga, right? Yeah. So I'm not trying to do that, right? But it was before that I thought, like, they could have brought him on and something could have happened. So, you know, I think it's a no-brainer to have him on your extended bench.
Where would you have brought him on at?
Well, you just would have had to play him in the middle.
Yeah.
Or roaming role, like, they just thought that there was that period when they were going set for set in that second half, and Queensland just had, they just weren't throwing anything at New South Wales. They'd gone into their shell a little bit, and as I said, I wasn't predicting what was about to happen, right? No one could have, but the way the game was heading, Queensland would just came out of that second half pretty flat, like they were trying to defend the lead rather than keep playing some footy. So I would have had Reece Walsh on then.
I would have picked, and I'm not criticising Billy for not doing it, I would have picked Jaden Campbell on that bench for Gold Coast. He can fill many positions, and I think the days of saying he's not ready yet is over. I think he keeps showing week after week, Jaden Campbell, he's ready. His defence is tough enough. He's got a good kicking game, and he is absolutely dynamic. I'd love to have him off the bench.
You know what? If they named a 21-player squad, he may well
be. Maybe. And in alphabetical order, it'd come out pretty quickly. So the New South Wales 1-21 will be named, or alphabetical, at 7 o'clock, we believe. On the text line, 0467 920222, Marky Mark is the best finisher in the game and should take Crichton's spot, says Steve. Steve-O at Byron Bay. Well, he's only had the one game back, and the injury, that syndesmosis problem that kept him out for 4 or 5 weeks, cost him an Origin spot, didn't it? He's a test match player, Mark Nwagunidowaze, and he showed in his return in Canberra on Friday night. His skill level is way off the charts.
Yeah, he's there for me if he doesn't get injured. He would have been there for game one. And I'd love to see him there for game two in that squad, and then you just sort of just decide.
Oh, mate, name 25 people.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. We've got 21 spots. Put him in there. But then also, if Crichton is no good, then you can put McLean in that centre, or you can put Tolu Kola in there, and Nwagunidowaze can play on the wing.
Back row will be interesting too. Liam Martin wasn't fit for game one. He's only had two games back. But Olakau'atu and Hudson Young are playing so damn well, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. I think Hudson Young was spectacular game one as well, and he backed it up continuously.
Yeah.
And obviously Olakau'atu wasn't able to finish the game with that bit of that calf concern, but then he backed up for Manly and was, again, absolutely outstanding. So I feel like they both retain their positions.
On the text line, 0467 920 222. Hi, Andrew. Very disappointing Dale Shearer was overlooked again, as he still makes himself available every series, as Troy at Sandy Island and Moreton Bay. That was such a thing for a long, long time, wasn't it? Hey, Andrew and team, maybe it's psychological warfare by New South Wales naming 21. Queensland generally claim every year they're the underdogs in the same fashion. That's from Simon. Hey, Andrew, Ruan and MC, my wow moment was listening to all of you over this long weekend, commentating every match. Thank you so much. Oh, Elizabeth, that's very sweet. Thank you. 0467 920 222. Also on the text line, Origin, sorry, Moses should have played tonight. 14-12 para victory, reckons Mitch. A little bit disappointed with how his team went. I get it, Mitch. Angelo at Tweedheads, just a random list of all the teams that can't win the premiership. Dolphins had 50-plus put on them by the Sea Eagles. Gold Coast, 50 points by the Sharks. Melbourne beaten by the Panthers, who put 50 on them. Parramatta had 50-plus put on them twice by Melbourne and Gold Coast. St George, Illawarra had 50 points put on them by the Roosters. West had 50-plus put on them twice by Cronulla and Penrith. And it's 35% of the table eliminated from premiership contention. So the big question, who will be the next team to see 50 points? Yeah, well, history tells us you can't. Mind you, a lot of those teams... Buckley's chance anyway.
Well, Dolphins aren't.
Dolphins are not.
They're in the hunt. Yes. But if they're to overcome those teams ahead of them, they're going to have to need a very solid run into the finals.
They're the only one of that list, though, who's got the remotest chance, surely. Andrew, I'm also vision impaired, and you guys are definitely the best commentary team around, as you focus on the game with a little bit of fun on the side. Even my one-sided friends agree. Thank you. From the Blue Mountains, plus can't believe the game today. It was seen to be more like a New South Wales Cup reserve grade game. It was at times, there is zero doubt about it. Some of the attack from Parramatta in the second half was really, really poor. And then all of a sudden, they scored two tries in 2.5 minutes.
Yeah.
Then, momentum, it was crazy.
It was crazy, yeah. Both sides went bang, bang. And it wasn't the worst game of footy that I've seen this year, because it was willing. It was just a lack of execution. I thought Parramatta were really brave in that first half. The way they defended and repelled Canterbury. Canterbury's issue, and Connor Tracy summed it up beautifully at the end of the game, it was the fact that it wasn't marching up the field. They actually marched up the field
easily, quite
well, right? It was, and it's been a concern for them again, it was their execution in good ball or attacking Parramatta's line. They just had not. They didn't look like scoring in that first half.
Specifically, when a play the ball is in the 20.
It was bad.
Specifically.
But, Ru, explain this. Why? How does it make such a difference that they obviously have the attacking structures and the ability to march up the field, right?
Yep.
But then when they get into the attacking 20, they just have zero.
Well, what it looked like tonight, especially to me, is that when they got into the 20, they looked to go around instead of continuing to play through. And when you're playing through in that 20, to me, you're looking at turning your centres under and engaging that four, like the 5 and 4 defender, which is usually that last middle and the edge back rower, getting them in there and getting them involved in the tackle. Then you can attack down a short side, yep, potentially flipping another middle, and then you've got that numbers overlap. You can attack short, or you go on the long edge if they don't give the numbers that are necessary. But what was not happening, because they kept trying to play around them and not play through them, it was just, it's very easy to check and release in defence. And that's what Parramatta did beautifully. And I think they just needed to make sure, I'm getting the wind up, they just need to make sure that they're actually breaking it down on the back rower and getting their second rower on the half. When they did, Tupanua scored.
Well played, Roo. Coming up next, we're going to check in with the premiership favourites, Penrith.
A young man vanishes and something about it doesn't sit right.
It made no sense.
I'm Rob Bergen. Join me for What Became of Jack, the new season of Unravel.
You know where my son is.
Search for the Unravel podcast on ABC Listen.
From kickoff to full time, this is NRL Monday with Andrew Moore on ABC Radio and ABC Sport Digital.
Well, we're calling the game out at Parramatta yesterday where Penrith crushed the West Tigers 68 points to nil, running in 12 tries. And look, every one of their players played particularly well, including Paul Alamotti. And he joined us on the line for NRL Monday. G'day, Paul. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Very, very well. How do you pull up after a game like that where you guys, from the moment you scored that first try in the seventh minute, were so dominant?
Yeah, you summed it up pretty well. Pretty dominant all game. Probably not the contest that we were expecting, but just good signs knowing that we're able to go on with the job just from start to end. And it's just a step in the right direction, that's for sure.
I was working last Monday night with your teammate Scott Sorensen, and at the end of the show, I said, is there any risk after such a huge game that you'd had last week, 1v2, great game of footy against the Warriors, of any sort of letdown mentally when you take on a team that you'd be expected to beat, although you're expecting it to be tighter than yesterday? And he said, with what we've been through for 6 years, big game, we're used to it. It wasn't a problem, it didn't seem. You guys have a knack of being up no matter who you're playing.
Yeah, last week was obviously a great win just for the club as a whole. Yeah, there was obviously going to be question marks around whether we'd be able to get up from the game, but I thought the way the Tigers played last week against the Dogs, we knew they were going to come. They were going to come ready to play, but yeah, just good signs knowing that our club's in a good spot at the moment, just the way we are as a squad and what we've been dishing up every week, which is very good.
Paul, do you take a moment to, when you guys are in that sort of form and you see Nathan Cleary do what he can do, do you take a moment just to marvel at some of the skill set of the players that you're a part of in this squad?
Yeah, definitely. Me personally, I do pinch myself every single day that I get to come into training, just be able to rub shoulders around with boys that are arguably the best players in their position or probably go down as future immortals of the game. But yeah, yesterday was pretty incredible just to be able to experience, be on the same field as some of the players like Clez. I think there was one moment in the game where Banana kicked it. You just tell he's at the top of his game and just playing with so much confidence, and it's rubbing off on the other players, which is the most pleasing part.
Lots have been made around some of the boys that are off contract at the end of next season. Lots of your high-profile teammates, I guess, but yourself, you're also a November 1 guy. Where are you at in terms of what you'd like to do with your long-term future?
To be honest, I haven't really looked into that. I can't really speak to anyone else until November 1, so yeah, that's kind of just further down the track. But at the moment, we're just travelling so well. I'm just enjoying every week, enjoying winning and just trying to get better as a team, which is kind of our main focus at the moment.
Well, Paul, I think your fans are just loving what you guys are dishing up, but this has been in the making for a while. There was a lean period last year, but so many young players were blooded. You know, Jenkins, McLean, Talangi, they're all hitting their straps now, and as a group, you guys just seem to be lifting the bar every time you take the field. Does it feel like that when you're out there?
Yeah, definitely. Last year, we definitely learned a lot of lessons just during that period where we just struggled to find form or just find some wins early on in the season. And yeah, we went away over the summer and just wanted to focus on a couple of little things, just trying to, I guess, learn from those from that little period. And yeah, it's safe to say that we're kind of learning from it and it's showing out on the field.
Yeah, and Ivan Cleary, like, as a player, what kind of impact does he have on you around training, heading into games? Because he just seems to have a very cool, calm demeanour, but he really does hold the line on the standard for everybody, doesn't he?
Yeah, definitely. He's had a massive influence, not only in the club as a whole, but me personally, just I guess a bit of his demeanour has rubbed off on the playing group as a whole. He's just so calm, so cool. Yeah, I guess it's showing out on the field. The boys are just playing so freely, so fearlessly, and we're heading the right direction, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It's fascinating watching you guys, because the attack was obviously first rate yesterday, but it's the defence and the resilience that your team continues to show, Paul, that is so impressive this year, in a year where everyone is keen to blame the new set restart rules and, you know, if you concede the momentum to the other team, you can't possibly hold them out. You lot are disproving that theory. Why do you think Penrith is so good at maintaining the resilience they've had over the last 5 or 6 years while others are struggling?
Yeah, probably the biggest driving factor for that is definitely Ivan. Like, he's always been someone who said to us, we don't want to be victims to anything that's coming our way with all the new rules and set starts and how fast the game has gone over the last couple of years. So that definitely, his theories around how we want to play and how we want to defend and just our mindset around periods where momentum's against us, because as we all know, momentum, when the team has it, it's very hard to stop it. So, yeah, over the summer, we've done a lot of work and it's safe to say that it's showing out in the field, that's for sure.
Yeah, it definitely is. And obviously, you know, Ivan's announced that he's not going to be there long term, but Peter Wallace, you know, he's the heir apparent. He's going to be stepping into that fold. I get the feeling he has a very similar demeanour and outlook and philosophy to coaching as Ivan.
Yeah, definitely. He's probably got the exact same. Very cool, calm, collected, confident in his ability. He's actually coached a lot of the boys coming through, so that obviously helps with relationships, connection. But I have no doubt he'll do a great job and, he'll thrive in that position.
Just one last one on your centre partner, Casey McLean, who thankfully that ankle injury not too serious, as he told us after the game yesterday. That was a bit of a scare. But, what you know, everyone talks about origin players. They come back into NRL club land, better players and more confident and extra driven. Have you seen anything different in Casey?
No, not really. He's not. He's very calm. He's very laid back and he cares a lot. So, yeah, he definitely would have gained a lot of confidence coming out of the origin camp. But he's not really a loud person to save. He's just, he's Case, very laid back, very chilled. And then once he gets on the field, he's just all in. He cares about his game, cares about his teammates, and he'll do anything he can to win.
What did you make of his debut? Because I thought he came on and he was amazing from the get-go.
Yeah, I thought it was tremendous. He attacked everything, just fearless, went to every contest and just had no fear of failure, which is the biggest thing. And yeah, he had a great game.
Well, you did too yesterday, Paul, along with all your teammates. 12 tries, 6 in each half, a 68-0 win, and you sit on top of the ladder by 4 points, 14 rounds in. Well done, mate. Keep it up. We look forward to seeing you again soon.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Who's hot?
But it is Nathan Cleary, surely. An outstanding second half in Origin 1 at this ground to lead New South Wales to victory. And watching him yesterday was like watching a man against boys. Nathan Cleary completely bamboozled the West Tigers. It was a masterclass, albeit against opposition that didn't have a clue how to handle him. But Nathan Cleary is hot. Who's not, though?
Who's under the pump?
I think it's Billy Slater a little bit. A massive selection that he came up with today with three changes. The Maroons are defending champions, so no one's implying that his position as Queensland coach is in jeopardy. But having led game one 20-0 only to lose, and of course the Kalimpong send-off was the major reason, but he has to get it right for game two at the MCG. You can have your say on 0467 920 222 0467 920 222. After 7 o'clock, the New South Wales State of Origin squad will be announced. We'll react to that and get yours as well. We'll find out who MC and Roo are buying and selling, and the director's cut, where our producer Ralph Tucker comes up with his highlight of the weekend. NRL Monday with Andrew Moore, Ruan Sims and Michael Carianis. News is next.
Your complete NRL wrap. This is NRL Monday. with Andrew Moore on ABC Radio and ABC Sport Digital.
With you until 7.30 tonight, we're at Stadium Australia, where earlier today it was a win for Canterbury Bankstown over Parramatta, 14 points to 12 after a scoreless first half. A Stephen Crichton penalty goal in the 77th minute gave the Blues that the Bulldogs that victory. I'm concerned about the Blues because their team has just been named, or at least their squad has, for State of Origin 2. I'm Andrew Moore with Michael Carayannis and Ruan Sims. Laurie Daly with the New South Wales Rugby League boss Dave Trodden has just made the Blues squad announcement on YouTube. Go for it, Laws.
Yeah, exciting to announce the squad for Game 2. Mitch Barnett, Nathan Cleary,
the team,
Stephen Crichton.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, exciting Adam Fanua to announce. Blake, Payne Haas, Isaiah Katoa, Tolu Kula, Abby Corrissau, Dylan Lucas, Casey McLean, Mitch Moses, Cam Murray, Homoli Olakau'atu, Victor Radley, Reece Robson, Katoni Staggs, Ethan Strange, James Tedesco, Brian To'o, Isaiah Yeo, Hudson Young.
So, Loz, that's a squad rather than 13 and a bench. Yeah. When do you reckon we'll get to be in a position to announce the 13 and a bench?
Oh, I think we'll be in a position in the next couple of hours. Obviously, there's some guys that we need a report from. There has been a couple of guys that have been carrying some slight niggles and injuries that we need to be on top of, and we need to be sure that they can train. So we're hoping, you know, by Tuesday we'll have that team and we'll be ready to go.
All right, so it's either a couple of hours or tomorrow, judging by that from Laurie Daly. So that squad, in likely positional order, James Tedesco, Brian To'o, Katoni Staggs, Stephen Crichton, Tolatau Kola, Mitch Moses, Nathan Cleary, and then the lock Isaiah Yeo and captain. Second row is Homoli Olakau'atu and Hudson Young. Front row is Mitch Barnett and Payne Haas, Reece Robson hooker, and a bench of Cam Murray, Victor Radley, Adam Fanua Blake, Appy Kuroisau does make it, Heath Strange, Casey McLean, and then Isaiah Katoa and Dylan Lucas. It's a 21-man squad, Michael Carayannis. So pretty much as you said before 7 o'clock, basically.
Yeah, I'm assuming the players under the injury cloud are Mitch Moses and Stephen Crichton. I don't think there's anyone else that's under a real injury cloud. We saw Stephen Crichton play this afternoon here at Sydney Olympic Park, and he doesn't look like he's running freely. I think Appy Kuroisau comes into the squad and probably picked more on reputation than form because, you know, he was outstanding to start the year, right? Yep. Really, really good to start the year and was pushing to be the starting hooker for New South Wales. Don't think he's come back very well in the last 2 weeks. You know, that Tigers performance yesterday might have hurt him a little bit. So there may be a temptation that he doesn't get on the field either. With that makeup of the side, they got Ethan Strange potentially on the bench. Victor Radley, I don't love him at dummy half, but, you know, in case of emergency, could potentially do a job there for New South Wales if Reece Robson can't go the 80 minutes. And I think in the side that you read out, the only contentious, well, it's not even contentious, the only decision will be does Adam Fanua Blake or Mitch Barnett start. Yeah. Otherwise, that side that you read will be as per.
Yes.
Bar an injury.
Ruan Sims, welcome back to you. What did you make of it all?
I feel for Saifidi. I really do. I felt he didn't get an opportunity in game one, but he came back and played really well for club. So I'm disappointed for him. But Payne Haas for me is going to be a walk-up start into that number eight jersey. It'll be very interesting to see when he names that, you know, the 1-19 or 1-20 jerseys, because obviously that will be dependent on how people pulled up, as MC spoke about. But yeah, I think if Crichton's no good, then obviously I think McLean just slots straight back, straight into that centre position. So at least there's not too much juggling going on, even though Tolu Kola can play centre as well.
Well, what they can't do, surely, especially with the speed of the game, Roo, is play players who are under any cloud.
No, I don't think you can. And that's why it's important to see how people turn out. And it is going to be vital to see how Mitch Moses physically is after that run today, especially because he wasn't able to play. And then, like MC spoke about this during the game earlier today, pre-game, he's been ticking all the boxes really well, and Parramatta are happy with how he's progressing. Mm. But now he is going to have to run at full speed at least 4 or 5 days before the game so that you'd have any level of confidence in how it's going to go during a game.
There's got to be a deadline, and Laurie Daly has spoken about that, on when he wants any players under an injury cloud to be able to prove their fitness. They've got
by
to participate
Thursday.
On Wednesday and yep. be there by Thursday.
So that would mean that Moses would and Crichton would have to be running at game speed yep. on the Thursday
yep.
to have confidence for them to be able to back up and play the following Wednesday.
Parramatta officials are confident he'll be right to do that.
Yeah.
You can text 0467 920222, buying and selling shortly. As a West Tigers supporter, Jerome is under the pump, needs to set up, just hasn't connected with his fullback and back rowers from Paul. Kick Louis out running for Prime Minister and put in Roo, says Ray at Queanbeyan. That was a big announcement by Louis on Saturday, that he was not only wanted to be, but will be the next Prime Minister.
That was. And maybe I can run opposition. You and I can run on the same ticket, MC. Oh, sorry, MG.
I'm out.
Britt and Nick are not physical enough for the early exchanges, says a listener. For a second, I thought you were going to say Ruan was hot this week, Maury. You cheeky grub, you. That's from Luca. And for anyone that's
you're not going to live it down, you grub.
I know. Oh, especially if you start calling me that.
You have been giving me stick for the last 47 minutes. Mm. You've been very mean to me.
How?
I don't know, but it sounds good.
I would never be mean. No, for anyone who missed it earlier, I was accused by a listener who is a, judging by his history, Dennis has checked it out, he's a raving learner, calls every one of us a grub. I was a grub for flirting with Ruan Sims.
You didn't call me a grub, though.
No, I know, but you were the flirtee, not the flirter, apparently.
Yeah, but he didn't say anything nasty about me, so.
I know.
He's
what
all
would
right.
he?
He's all right.
Well, he hasn't actually in his history. You're the one who's got through, so maybe he's a flirty grub. 0467 920222. Great call again. Love Roo. She knows the game as good as anyone. What a bonus having her on board. Couldn't agree more, Paul. Listening on the Gold Coast. Love the show, Andrew. Well, that's kind. Thank you. 0467 920222. It's that time of year where everyone texts about sitting around a fire listening to the footy on a beautiful winter's day. Not me. I'm freezing here in the shed in Queanbeyan. It's so cold and I'll be here all winter loving the show. And thank you to ABC from Peter at Queanbeyan.
Oh, Peter, you need a space heater or something.
I love the cut of your jib though, Peter. That's
or a heated blanket.
That's tough. I love yeah.
that. I would just go inside.
Yes. No, your shed. I like listening to the footy in the shed in winter. There's something about it.
Oh, you're a shed listener.
Yeah, yeah. Dad's got a shed at home and he loves putting the footy on. It's just, it's, you know, well, nostalgic.
Would that be one of people's favourite places to listen to the footy, the shed? We get so many messages and have done for years and years and years
yep.
from people in their shed.
Yep.
I hate going to my shed because it generally means
you got work to do.
Labour.
So how That's often? When was the last time you opened your shed door?
I know. I do the lawns.
Okay, so you hide the lawnmower in there.
Yeah, and I had to do the... My neighbour was blowing up the other day, so I had to, like, trim my trees, my back hedge. He wasn't blowing up. He's very nice.
Mm.
Sometimes listens, so I better be careful. But I had to trim my back trees.
Come back and all the green waste will be thrown over your fence.
Oh, dear. 0467 920222. Excellent call from my ABC. Listen to every game. My favourite moment, Kenny's try. The interview with Johnny afterwards with him was gold. Louis for PM. Roo for my gold medal. Next level for the premonition song. This farmer loves his ABC. Rural Australia loves you guys. Well, that's good on you, Ed. Appreciate that very much. Drew, if Moses is Blues chosen, Power made a big sacrifice today to be applauded. Well, he was never going to be fit today by the sound of things, but he was satisfying that he was fit to go next game.
Parramatta said, I know it's if they were playing on Wednesday of this week, he would have played.
Yeah.
Rowdy Andy says, in the game today, the players were lurching around like Uncle Fester. Oh, good listening,
That's
Rowdy
a good one.
Andy. There was the odd reference to that before. Couldn't agree more, guys, from Chris in Mount Isa. The Shed is the most peaceful place. That's our mate Chris. Paul's listening in the Shed. They're coming from everywhere.
See? Shed listeners.
Oh, and Sharon is showing off what she's cooked for the evening. Thank you for a long weekend.
What is it?
Birthday from Sharon in Brisbane, who adds, go Manly.
Is it some kind of slow-cooked amazingness?
A
roast?
Oh, yeah, no, it looks like pork and looks like multiple meats.
I'm so jealous. Where's Sharon?
In Brisbane. I don't think you could make it in time. All right, it is time to find out who Roo and MC are buying or selling.
Are you buying or selling?
Righto, Ruan, I'd love you to start because you've been so magnificent today. You ready? Don't run out of words yet.
That's usually my role.
Penrith is going to run away with the minor premiership. Are you buying or selling?
I'm buying it, baby. Big time.
Yeah. MC, do you think there's any doubt?
No, I'm buying it.
Okay, everyone's buying that. Good question to start with. Right. Michael, you can go second here too. Roo, Jerome Luai. His decision to sign with the PNG Chiefs has derailed the West Tigers' season. Are you buying or selling that?
No, I'm not buying that. I felt like it was handled very, very well by both parties, and it was very clear there was no sort of behind the scenes going on, like no nastiness or anything.
Skullduggery.
It was no skullduggery. It was all just normal duggery out in the open.
No, I'm not buying it. I'm selling that too. I don't think it has anything to do with the plight of the West Tigers. The only concern for the West Tigers would have been if there were players followed him and not one.
And no one has.
No, they've re-signed a lot of their players at the moment. So that was my only concern. Not that it would blow up their season. Jerome hasn't been at his best at all. But, you know, I think the injuries is more of a concern for the West Tigers than Jerome Luai.
Yeah, I was reading stories that were suggesting that this morning. Thought, no, it's not that at all.
Nah.
Like, teams are so adept these days. I, as a rugby league fan, hate these signings, you know, years out or months out from when a player leaves. But it's the way the game is. And I agree with what you said, Roo. If anything like that could be handled well, it was this.
Oh, it was handled perfectly by both parties.
Yes.
The Chiefs handled it brilliantly, and also the Tigers handled it brilliantly, and so did Jerome Luai. So, no, I not buying it.
All right, so one buy, one sell. Michael, are you buying or selling that the bunker must be able to rule on dodgy play the balls?
Yeah, I'm buying that. Like, with clear-cut ones like that, but the issue is how far do we go back? But I feel like the play the ball is fine to rule on, right? Like that's
part of the current play. I agree.
I'm with you. Right? Yeah. It's the act. It's the beginning of that play.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the next play. It's the beginning of that play. So why can't they?
Yeah.
It sounded like, and I'm not downing the bona fides that is the rule, albeit a silly one. But it sounds like just a cheap excuse, doesn't it?
Well, it's the start
of it. Oh, it goes back. Yeah.
It is the rule.
No, I get
it
that.
It is the rule.
But it sounds
However,
like a poor excuse.
I feel like the rule should be from whenever that play begins, and the play begins when the tackle is completed.
Yeah.
As soon as that tackle is completed and you start to work your way to your feet, that's all part of that current play.
Has the bunker had a good week?
It's been a stink fest by the bunker.
What stands out most, apart from the play the ball issue with Ben Trbojevic?
Well, I think
Chester.
The Chester try and what we saw today.
Mm.
With the disallowed try to Joash Papali.
Because they got, I said it during the call, they were being too cute today, this weekend. For whatever reason, they decided to convince themselves into decisions that you just didn't need convincing of.
But I feel, you know, with that no try today, I feel if that happened in yardage, yes, Galvin did have possession of the ball, but if that piece of play occurred in yardage and it was picked up by Papali and he travels 12 metres down the field and is tackled, it's not getting called back to where that play happened, where Lachlan knocked it on and then it was knocked out. It wouldn't get called back.
And no one's looking at it again.
Yeah,
and no one's looking at it
like
ever
one,
again. That's
yeah.
the thing, right? And there was no reaction from Lachie Galvin. Didn't think he had possession.
No, he just went, oh no.
He dropped the ball.
Correct.
But also, he got shuffled, you know what. He got shuffled an absolute stinker.
Oh no, there
as
was,
well.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
The whole play was abysmal.
Yeah, it was just. Yeah, I think that's one where a common sense approach and more consistent approach would have been appreciated.
Righto, Roo. The Dolphins are up to fifth and will smash their way into the top four to stay. Buying or selling?
I'm buying that. Big time.
Michael?
I'm not buying it big time. I think they can finish in the top four.
Are you buying it little time?
I'm going to buy it if it's on sale.
You're buying it on sale, okay. What, 20% off?
Like 20 off, 40 off, half price?
I think the top three will be Penrith, Warriors, the Roosters.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
So then that four spots open between Manly, Dolphins, probably South for mine.
So are you buying or selling?
I think South will finish four, so I'm selling.
Okay. Really?
There you go.
You reckon South will finish fourth?
Only 2 points difference.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, you're too indecisive, so I'm going to come back to
I'm
you.
I'm going,
again,
yeah. Right, I'm going to say Dolphins in the fourth.
You're not indecisive. The other
Which is unusual.
Kieran Foran, finally, is on track to be the coach of the year. Are you buying or selling that, Roo?
I would love to buy that. However, he hasn't been in charge for the whole season, so... Does he qualify? I mean, he was only in charge he was an interim for 9 games and he was assistant for 4. So.
I would assume he does qualify.
Does he? Yeah. I don't know. Like, what's the rules?
There'll be no rule.
Anyway,
there's no minimum.
This is your rule, anyway.
Okay. If the Panthers win the minor premiership, I'm saying no, it's Ivan Cleary for me.
So you're selling?
I'm selling.
Okay.
But I love the Foz. I want him to. However, I feel like Ivan Cleary would be...
You don't have to suck up. You're selling him. What about you, Michael?
Selling. At the moment, I've got Cleary 1, Webster 2, Foran.
I'm Fozball crazy, though. Yeah. I love Foz.
Oh, plenty of people are. But having this chat with some people before we went to air today about Ivan Cleary almost gets penalised. We have this chat every year.
Because he's so good?
And everything is so expected. But Penrith did not make the grand final last year for the first time in 6 years. And they've bounced back this year. They are the best side by miles. The Warriors, I think, we went through this before. They're a legit second team. Mm. But Penrith look as dominant a top team in the comp that I can remember seeing in years.
And they're very well balanced. They're a very well balanced team. And all the young blokes that they blooded, which we spoke to Paul Adelmonte about, they blooded all those young guys last year and they're really stepping up this year.
All right, well done, Roo. Well done, MC, buying or selling over for another Monday. It's 7:23. On the text line, 0467 920 222. Bunker's there to be taken out, team. Sorry, military background, lol, says Brett at Ipswich. A bit late, but congrats to New South Wales Country who beat City 22-16 in the Police Rugby League game at Crow Oval in Gerringong last Wednesday. Great game from Magpie Pete. Oh, I miss Mick Cronin Oval.
Are you going to go back there this year at any stage?
I don't know when we'll get a chance, but I'd love to. It's such a great time.
And it is, isn't it?
We called a game at Gerringong. Well, was it before?
I did one with you guys.
No, that was there. You're on
with
the sideline. And Ashton Sims was on the touchline. That's what I was about to say. One, the amount of beer cans on that hill where we're calling from, I've never seen anything like it. Yet, 5 minutes after the game, it wasn't the cleaners who cleaned it. It was the fans. It was the most amazing clean-up job I've ever seen. And this fight breaks out, MC, and I'm like, oh, gosh, it's right in front of Roo. You know who didn't move one muscle? Roo. Run at me, she said.
That's not true. I crossed my legs.
Oh, you did too.
To get my feet out of the way.
Over here, boys. Let's go. 0467 920 222. Ty says, tell old mate in the cold shed to get the $2 hand warmers for his pockets. They're a lifesaver.
Oh, yeah.
We aren't in a shed, but out on the desert track at Alice Springs. Camping after the race around a great campfire. Thank you for the calls all weekend. Thank you, Carolyn. Appreciate you very much. And best place to listen to the football is when I'm sewing in my craft room. Alison from Coomera. Good on you, Alison.
That would be a good way to while the time. Listen to the footy while you're doing your...
Are you a sewer?
Yeah, I love sewing.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's not much sewing in our house.
No?
No.
I've got a machine. I'd like to get on it.
Let's get to what we call the director's cut. This is where our producer, Ralph Tucker, comes up with his highlight from the broadcast over the last 4 or 5 days. Let's get to it now.
The director's cut.
I don't know why they wouldn't take a shot at goal there and make it 4 converted tries. Nevertheless, they obviously are treating Canberra with disdain. They'll probably score here. The whether it be Nolan and Itawase or Robert Toyer, haven't they put on a show tonight, that right side for...
Is this
for
a prediction, Jonty?
Yeah, they'll score.
Toyer or Nolan Itawase?
Yeah, in the six.
Okay, here's the scrum, fed and one. They go to the right, just rinse and repeat. Cherry Evans to Walker, cut out ball to Toyer, then away to Nolan Itawase, steps in field, pass one, he's over, Gibbsy, oh, you've done it again. You've done an Emmetton Agato from a few years ago. Oh, boy. Well, I said Alan Tung's up here looking like the Pope. You're looking like Nostradamus, Jonty. 26 blocked the Roosters.
They knew straight away, and that's what they do. They do everything well, so you can rest assured. They got a bit of a break, but again, the Pink Panthers will be going in.
They win the... Ooh, hang on. Another premonition. Comes left to Edwards. Goes left to Cleary. Then away to McLean. Got it away to Jenkins. Milky! He dives over to score the try. Jonty's premonition. Oh, yeah. Penrith 22. West nil. Tom Jenkins scores. Gibbsy, you've done it again.
Well, you didn't have to be Einstein.
Well, he was. That's some of the best from John Gibbs. Two great predictions throughout the course of round 14, resulting in being Ralph Tucker's director's cut for the day. That's pretty cool. You two have done a lot of work on the sideline. To come up with something like that twice is pretty cool. Michael, have you ever done that? When? Yeah. Name one example.
Yesterday.
What was it?
That it was, God, I don't even know who played. Cronulla Dragons.
Yeah, and what was your prediction that came true?
That it wasn't going to be a try. They weren't going to score off that set.
Oh. Wow.
I did one today.
Yeah, see?
What was yours today?
I said they'll go over in this set, and Satili Tupanua went over, and it was just a thing that stopped him from actually scoring the try.
Yeah, but he didn't score.
But he went over. See?
It was close.
Coming up in round 15, Thursday night will be on air from 7 on ABC Listen here at Stadium Australia. Myself, Matthew Elliott and Michael Carayannis. And we'll call the game at 7.50 between South Sydney and the Brisbane Broncos. Hope you can join us for that. Friday night, Quentin Hull, Billy Moore and Zane Bojack will be on air from 7. And they'll bring you the game that kicks off at 8 at Lang Park. And what a game. Dolphins against the Sydney Roosters. Saturday, we're on air from 2 o'clock in the boardroom. Myself, Louie, MC and Rue. And then at 5.30, we'll call Warriors v Cronulla Sutherland from Mount Smart Stadium, and then Rue will be hightailing it to Western Sydney Stadium to call with Brett Sprigg and Dean Halitau, Parramatta against the Canberra Raiders at 7.30. And Sunday we're on air all day from Leichhardt Oval between midday and 6.30. And Louis Gibbsy and Scott Sorensen, the Penrith front rower, will join us at Leichhardt 4.05. It's West Tigers against the Gold Coast Titans. So look forward to that next weekend. And on Wednesday week, it is State of Origin 2 at the MCG, coverage here on ABC Sport from 7 p.m. All right, that just takes yes?
Are you guys doing the 19s Origin on the Thursday night?
We are not.
Following men's?
Thanks for asking.
Oh, okay.
We are not.
Next gen.
I know, and I look forward to watching it very much and taking interest in it that way. Rue, lovely to work with you. Thank you for a fun day. Thanks for a fun weekend, and I'll see you on Saturday.
Yeah, you will. Can't wait.
Okay, look forward to it. Michael Carayannis, I can't wait to see you in a few sleeps' time right here.
Can't wait.
Bye, Michael. We'll read all about your stories in the Daily and Sunday Telegraph. Thank you to our producer, Ralph Tucker. Our man of sound, Dennis Carnahan. Thank you, Den Dog. And Jared Ryan, who's managed to come to two games this weekend. Phenomenal performance. In fact, three. Wow. All right, I'm Andrew Moore. Thanks for listening. NRL Monday returns next week. The footy returns Thursday. Thank you to Brett Sprigg in the studio and Tyler's Tom as well for his help. And thank you so much for listening. Evenings is coming up next on this Monday. I'm Andrew Moore. Have a great night.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.